Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled Creation. Chapter 3, text number 1. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Suta Uvacha Jagrihe Paurushang Rupam Bhagavan Mahad Adbihi Sambutang Shodasha Kalam Adao Loka Sasrikshaya Suta Uvacha Jagrihe Paurushang Rupam Bhagavan Mahad Adbihi Sambutang Shodasha Kalam Adaloka Sasrikshaya. Please chant. Suta Uvacha Jagrihe Paurushang Rupam Bhagavan Mahad Adbihi Sambutang Shodashakalam Adau Lokas Rasikshaya. Suta Uvacha Jagrihe Paurushang Rupam Bhagavan Mahad Adbihi Sambutang Shodashakalam Adau Lokas Sikshaya. Ladies, Uvacha Jagrihe Purusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahad Adbihi Bhutang Shodashakalam Adau Lokas Sikshaya. Anyone else? Suta Uvacha. Suta said, Jagrihe accepted Parusham, plenary portion as the Purusha incarnation. Rupam, form. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Mahat Adbihi, with the ingredients of the material world. Sambhutam, thus there was the creation of. Shodashakalam, 16 primary principles. Adau, in the beginning. Loka, the universes. Sriksikshaya, on the intention of creating. Please repeat the translation. Sutta said, in the beginning of the creation, the Lord first expanded himself in the universal form of the Purusha incarnation and manifested all the ingredients for the material creation. And thus, at first, there was the creation of the 16 principles of material action. This was for the purpose of creating the material universe. Purport by the ISKCON founder Acharya is Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Bhagavad Gita states that the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, maintains these material universes by extending his plenary expansions. So this Purusha form is the confirmation of the same principle. The original personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, or Lord Krishna, who is famous as the son of King Vasudev or King Nanda, is full with all opulences, all potencies, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Part of his opulences are manifested as impersonal Brahman, and part of his opulences are manifested as Paramatma. This Purusha feature of the same personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is the original Paramatma manifestation of the Lord. There are three Purusha features in the material creation, and this form, who is known as the Karanadakashayi Vishnu, is the first of the three. The others are known as Garbhodakashayi Vishnu and Kshirodakashayi Vishnu, which we shall know one after another. The innumerable universes are generated from the skin holes of this Karanadakashayi Vishnu, and in each one of the universes, the Lord enters as Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also mentioned that the material world is created at certain intervals and then again destroyed. This creation and destruction is done by the supreme will because of the conditioned souls or the Nitya Buddha living entities. The Nitya Buddha or the eternally conditioned souls have the sense of individuality or ahankar, which dictates them sense enjoyment, which they are unable to have constitutionally. The Lord is the only enjoyer, and all others are enjoyed. The living beings are predominated enjoyers, but the eternally conditioned souls, forgetful of this constitutional position, have strong aspirations to enjoy. The chance to enjoy matter is given to the conditioned souls in the material world, and side by side, they are given the chance to understand their real constitutional position. Those fortunate living entities who catch the truth and surrender unto the lotus feet of Vasudeva after many, many births in the material world join the eternally liberated souls and thus are allowed to enter into the kingdom of Godhead. After this, such fortunate living entities need not come again within the occasional material creation. But those who cannot catch the constitutional truth are again merged into the Mahatattva at the time of annihilation of the material creation. When the creation is again set up, this Mahatattva is again let loose. This Mahatattva contains all the ingredients of the material manifestations, including the conditioned souls. Primarily, this Mahat-Tattva is divided into 16 parts, namely the 5 gross material elements and the 11 working instruments or senses. It is like the cloud in the clear sky. In the spiritual sky, the effulgence of Brahman is spread all around, and the whole system is dazzling in spiritual light. The Mahat-Tattva is assembled in some corner of the vast, unlimited spiritual sky, and the part which is thus covered by the Mahat-Tattva is called the material sky. This part of the spiritual sky, called the Mahat-Tattva, is only an insignificant portion of the whole spiritual sky. And within this Mahat-Tattva, there are innumerable universes. All these universes are collectively produced by the Karanadakashayi Vishnu, called also the Mahavishnu, who simply throws his glance to impregnate the material sky. This same verse also appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adi Lila, chapter 5. I'd like to read the translation, which is slightly different, and the purport. So here's how it appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord expanded himself in the form of the Purusha incarnation, accompanied by all the ingredients of material creation. First, he created the 16 principal energies suitable for creation. This was for the purpose of manifesting the material universes. Prabhupada's purport. Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that the following 16 spiritual energies are present in the spiritual world: Shri, Bhu, Lila, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Gir, Pushti, Satya, Jnana Gyan, Jaya Ukarshani, Vimala, Yogamaya, Prathvi, Ishana, and Anugraha. In his commentary on the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan has said that the above energies are also known by 9 names: Vimala, Utkarshini, Jnana, Kriya, Yoga, Pravi, Satya, Ishana, and Anugraha. In the Bhagavat Sandarbha of Srila Jiva Goswami, they are described as Sri Pushti Gir, Kanti Kirti, Tushti Ila, Jaya, Vidya Vidya, Maya Samvit, Sandini, Khladini, Bhakti, Murti, Vimala, Yoga, Prathi, Ishana, Anugraha, etc. All these energies act in different spheres of the Lord's supremacy. Trinadapi Sunichena Turoriva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Eva Kivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. So nice to be in the association of devotees. So nice to have the privilege of devotional service here in this wonderful ISKCON New Dwaraka. And still, I will say to the day I die, home of the most famous, most beautiful deities in the whole world, Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadish. So, this word, Parusham, plenary portion. This word, plenary, means full, a full portion. And as the Purusha incarnation, in the purport, Prabhupada gave us who these 3 Purusha incarnations are. We learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are six kinds of avatars or personalities who descend from the transcendental spiritual sky. So one of those six kinds of incarnations are these Purusha incarnations. Then there is this word in this verse, rupam, form. This is very, very important. Because Prabhupada, in the mantras that we pray to Prabhupada, he has specifically come to wipe out the two most dangerous philosophies, impersonalism and voidism. And throughout his purports, if you are more and more familiar, you see that over and over and over again, he just loves to smash Mayavad impersonalism, voidism philosophy. He just eats it up for lunch. He just loves to debunk these philosophies. And the key, rupam, form. But it is not a material form. It is a spiritual, transcendental form. That's why Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Again, the same word, body, form. Because the impersonalists, they cannot accept that God has a spiritual form. They say, yes, when God comes to the material world, he takes on a material body. Lord Chaitanya says, there is no greater blasphemy. That's it. As soon as you say that God takes on the material body, becomes conditioned by the material modes of nature, you have just destroyed the very definition of God. By definition, God has to mean always transcendental, even when he comes to this material world. That form is not a material form like you and I have. That form is completely transcendental. Yes, people were allowed to see that transcendental form, and many, if not most, misunderstood that form. Putana thought, oh, this child Krishna is so powerful, but she was thinking, I'm still going to be able to kill him. So, and many people misunderstood Brahma. He couldn't appreciate. He couldn't accept. How can my Lord appear like this as a young 5-year-old cowherd boy? How is this possible? Indra, what did he do? He became offended. I'm the king of heaven. And they're not doing their Indra worship. These people have become influenced by this over-talkative child. Krishna is not some over-talkative child. He's your boss. You work for him. And after the whole episode of Govardhan, Indra came, and Prabhupada uses that word stealthily. What an interesting word, stealthily. You just get this picture. Sheepishly, embarrassingly, didn't want to show. But Indra came down, dazzling with his crown, and begged forgiveness. And we learn, very interesting, Krishna chastises him. Indra, you should understand. You get your abilities from me. And I can take away, not just you, anyone's position, anytime. So just remember that. Yes, you can go back. You can go and be Indra, fill out your term. But just remember, where you get your powers from. Prahlad was asked by Hiranyakashipu, where do you get your powers to defy me? Prahlad said, the source of my strength is the source of your strength, God. And here he is with form. And therefore the next word, Bhagavan. Bhagavan, as Prabhupada says, personality of Godhead, reconfirming. And this is used billions of times. Personality of Godhead. Not just God or Godhead. Person, he wants to drive this point home. Because he knows this material world, Western world, is filled up with impersonalism and voidism. So Prabhupada, the master teacher, el professor, personality of Godhead. Bhagavan, he mentioned it in the purport. Possessor of six opulences, all wealth, beauty, fame, strength, wisdom, and renunciation. But he has them to an unlimited degree. That's the difference. Yes, you may have some opulence, some little opulence. I may have maybe little opulence. There are so many wealthy people, famous people, so-called intelligent big brains. That's all right. They're just little insignificant. But Krishna has unlimited. Not only, nobody can claim. There is no one person in this world who claims, I have all the opulences. Maybe you have one, two, three, but all of them? Nah, we don't see that. That's why Prabhupada says, we have never seen anyone in the history like Krishna. Because he has all the opulences simultaneously to an unlimited degree. Unlimited. Our opulences, not unlimited. Very tiny. So Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. We learned about Bhagavan in the previous chapter, because Sutta was asked about the absolute truth. So what did he say? Badanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. There is this non-dual substance, this thing, has no duality. It is advaita, non-dual. Absolute. And this non-dual absolute substance is known by three features. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Which Prabhupada also mentioned in the purport. So, here we see the original ingredients come from God. That's why we don't like to say, really, that Lord Brahma is the creator. He's the engineer. In other words, on his own, Brahma cannot do anything. Just like the material scientists. They cannot create life. That's not possible. Creation is the business of God. As with this key verse. All these, what does it say here? 16 primary principles. These come from God. With these 16 primary principles, then Lord Brahma can engineer a creation. Just like devotees go to the kitchen to cook. But if there are no ingredients to cook with, you may be a master cook. But what are you going to do if you just have water? You need flour, you need butter, you need so many things to make Rajbhog offering. Somebody has to supply those ingredients. So the same way, Lord Brahma gets to engineer, but the things he's working with, where did it come from? God. This is called God consciousness. God consciousness means how to see behind everything the hand of God. That is God consciousness. Oh, nice. That is the mark. How in every situation to see how God is there. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now in the second half of today's purport, Prabhupada talked about something that I'm very keen on, something I like to talk about all the time. As it says here, the Nitya Baddha or eternally conditioned souls have the sense of individuality or ahankar, which dictates them sense enjoyment, which they are unable to have constitutionally. That's why I like to sing that song. You've got to serve somebody. Because that is our constitutional position. The problem with this material world is that the servant, and that's all of us, top to bottom. Is Brahma a servant? Yes. And he's the topmost person in the universe. Right? He's a servant. Down to the, what is that, Indragopa, microbic, germ, whatever it is. Everyone is servant of God. Prabhupada in the purport also reminded us of that famous shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ekale Ishwar Krishna Arasava Britya. Everyone is servant of Krishna. Where does it begin? Balaram. Even our Balaram on the altar is servant of Krishna. And that question is raised in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela. Where do we find that person who does not have this sense? All the personalities mentioned, all the personalities of Godhead want to enjoy. Yes, this is enjoyment. Being the servant. That is how we enjoy. Not by trying to be the enjoyer. This is the crux of the material world. The dilemma. The paradox of the material world. Yes. We're part and parcel of Krishna. By nature we have this propensity to enjoy. But how to enjoy, that is what's missing in this material world. That's why we're going out and distributing books. To teach people you're enjoying in the wrong way. We agree. Why did I join this movement? I joined this movement. I wanted to be happy. That's the only reason why I joined this movement. I didn't join to suffer. I joined to enjoy. And Prabhupada is teaching us, Krishna, Bhagavatam, Gita, all these books are teaching us how to enjoy through knowledge, proper way. You get some equipment, you get an instrument, you spend your money, you buy a car, but there's a proper way to utilize it and an improper way. Those who have the knowledge, they know how to utilize all the facilities that this particular thing is providing. So in the same way, the 99.99% of the human population does not know how to enjoy. They think they know how to enjoy with their Las Vegas. They think, I will enjoy. Friday's coming. Let's go. Sin City. They think they're enjoying, but we laugh at them. Fools, you don't know how to enjoy. we are enjoying, not you. We are, how are we enjoying? Because we're not on a false platform. We know the secret to enjoyment. That secret to enjoyment is to serve God. Bhakti. Render, that is our enjoyment. And it begins every day by hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Lord Chaitanya's advertising in his first Shikshastakam. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. This Maha Mantra which you begged for. Bhaktivinoda's song. Bhaktivinoda fell down at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and begged for the holy name. We do the same thing before the spiritual master. We bow down and we beg, please give me the ability to chant, because even that can be taken away. It's not a mechanical process. If I commit offenses, Lord Chaitanya points out, you won't derive a taste from chanting if I am offensive. Offenses is how I lose that taste. And that's why we see people may have started chanting. After so many years, where's the bead bag? I haven't seen it in so many years. Why? How did that happen? Only one reason. Offenses. So therefore, we're warned, guard against offenses. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Remain meek and humble at all times. No exceptions. Always remain meek and humble. And guard against the 10 offenses. Don't disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Don't think that you can commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting like you have some credit card. No. Be careful of offenses. Take shelter of Gaur Nitai so that you will never lose the ability. You never lose that taste for chanting the holy name. So we go out everywhere in any capacity, either through books or prasad distribution or college preaching or Harinam, Sankirtan. What are we doing? We're inviting people, please learn the art of enjoying. There's your next book. The Art of Enjoying. And what's lesson number one? You're not the enjoyer. You're the servant. What? I came here to enjoy. But not the way you think. You enjoy by becoming das, anudas, 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 100 times down. Just become the servant of the servant. Adi Lila chapter 7, what does it say? We become servants of the holy name. Servants of the holy name. That is our nomenclature. That's all we are. Servants of the holy name. We take the name ourselves. We give the name to others. Everything we do is centered around this name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Shall we have some discussion amongst the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis? Bhrigupati, as usual. Go ahead. Are we waiting for the Shri microphone? All right. What's that? Okay. No, I saw you first, so give it to him. I saw you first. And then we'll do Ananda.
All right, thank you. Babu, when you're at school, you know, as a young person, you get a report card. And from the report card, you get to know how you're doing in different subjects. And it's good because, you know, you could see, well, if you're doing poorly, you know, you got to pick up your socks and do better. If you're doing good, you know, you could use that energy in another area. But so what's our, is there anything that's like an equivalent to that in Krishna consciousness?
Yes. Taste. Taste for service. Taste for chanting. taste for hearing. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. You perceive directly the results. Obviously, you have proved by your life that you enjoy Sankirtan. Otherwise, why would you go out every day for 40 years plus and try to go out and distribute books? What are you, some stupid madman? No. It's because you have gotten some taste from that. If supposing Donald Trump came here and said, I'll give you $1 billion, stop distributing books, what would you say to Mr. Trump?
I'll take it.
And you would stop distributing books?
Well, I could buy a traveling Sankirtan van for every Sankirtan devotee that wanted. I mean, I could do a lot with $1 billion for the Sankirtan movement.
Just like we've had examples, Giriraj Swami and Guru Prasad Swami, they came from extremely wealthy families. And they were told, you give up Krishna or you're out of the will. They wouldn't give up Krishna. I don't think you would do that. That you means you can't go on in Sankirtan forever? You would order. I guess I can't go on anymore. All right. Anand. Yes?
You know, thank you for the nice class. You're saying that by making offenses, we lose taste.
Yes.
So can you explain, you know, sometimes, you know, we hear we shouldn't commit Vaishnava aparad, but that, as far as I know, there's nowhere what explains exactly what's Vaishnava aparad and what isn't. You know, some devotees sometimes will get in an argument, one person will get angry at another person. So where do we draw the line where we're being offended?
So what is Vaishnava aparad? When you start to think that Krishna is not in the heart of that person, when you start to think that this person doesn't have the ability to be Krishna's devotee, or I try to impede some other's devotee's devotional service, I try to discourage a person's devotional service, I try to do something to harm that person's devotional service, I no longer am that person's servant. Prabhupada says we use this word, Prabhu. But we don't know what we're saying. We're saying Prabhu, master, but we really mean, hey, servant. But the correct attitude is, no, you're my master. How may I serve you? So Vaishnava Parad means that I no longer want to be the servant of the servant. Archita wants to chime in.
Ananda Kirtan knows the answer to that question. But in any case, in the pastime of Kashyapa Muni and Diti, when he came back and saw that she was morose, he asked a list of questions about what could be the possible cause. So that's just in terms of offending ordinary people. To offend a Vaishnava is even worse than that. You know, he asked, like, did you not properly welcome somebody? Did you, you know, these are all offenses in the Vedic culture. If somebody comes to your door and you don't receive them properly, you know, all of these things, the whole list he gave there of things that she could have done to fall into this morose state. To offend a Vaishnava is even worse than that. So the Vaishnava culture is, don't offend anyone. Not that I only don't offend Vaishnavas. I don't offend anyone, not even the ant. And when you have that mentality, then you won't offend Vaishnavas. But if you think, I just won't offend Vaishnavas, and then I define who a Vaishnava is, my guru, Prabhupada, and all these other people, that's not so important. They're not pure devotees anyway. If you start thinking like that, finished. You have to think from the bottom up. Don't offend even an ant. Like that pastime with Arjuna and Duryodhana, to find somebody who's, you know, that you're higher than. And Arjuna couldn't find anybody. He said, even the worm in the stool is better than me. He's doing a job. He's recycling the stool into nutrients for the ground. So when you start thinking like that, that there's nobody that's lower than me, then you won't offend Vaishnavas, because you won't offend anyone.
Going back to Bhrigupati, so I'll change the argument. He comes, I'll give you $1 billion. Stop chanting Hare Krishna. You going to do that? Okay, thank you. Right. All right. Life membership director.
Nirantara Prabhu, you know, because we're speaking about ruchi or happiness, devotees generally have this notion that I have heard, oh, I'm chanting, I'm attending kirtan, so I'm happy. There's no question about that. But what is the progress of, or what will you say is the epitome of happiness? Is it service or is it just chanting? And
chanting is service. Everything we do is service. Everything we do is devotional service. What is the definition? Mangchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. To reach the Brahman platform. The Brahman platform is the platform of happiness. If you reach the Brahman platform, you're happy. But Krishna says in that verse in Bhagavad Gita, how do you reach that? Bhakti. And how, what kind? Vyabhicharani. Non-stop. 24, 7, 52, 100. Non-stop. That's the platform. Keep doing. Hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving, preaching. Non-stop. 24 hours. Even while you're asleep, practice chanting Hare Krishna.
Okay, let me now twist the question. If that was the mood in which Srila Prabhupada could have thought, then he could never have left his beloved Vrindavan.
No. Wrong.
Because he was in the mood of Paradukkadukki, so he came out to spread, yes?
Yes.
Not just do bhajan kutir. So, if I just chant, and listen, Shravanam Kirtan, like you're saying, but I'm not there practically going to do something for the Lord or for the fallen conditioned souls, am I not just doing it for myself, while the true mood should be, hey, I need to do this because there is so much to be done.
If you are really hearing and chanting, then that mood of wanting to go out will automatically happen. You won't remain a bhajan anandi. If you're actually tasting, the desire will be, I've got to give this out. And in the case of Prabhupada, he brought Vrindavan wherever he was. He came to L.A., he came to New York, we could see. He's not here. He is like that man in the airport. That guy is glowing. Yes, he was. Why? He brought Vrindavan with him. So yes, if you are really hearing and chanting, automatically, you naturally want to preach and give it to it. You can't help it. Okay, we had more hands. Oh, wait, the boss. Sorry.
Hare Bhagavan, thank you for a nice class. I heard a very simple definition of happiness from Prabhupada at one time. Srila Prabhupada gave an example of like a yogi. A yogi wants mystic power. A jnani wants knowledge. But Prabhupada said a bhakta wants nothing. And because of that, he's the only one that's peaceful and happy in life.
Yes. Quoting from Lord Chaitanya, Nishkam. Mukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkam ata eva shanta. Yes. But it doesn't mean we're voidists and impersonalists or Buddhists. No. We do want something. Service. Lord Chaitanya Shikshastakam prayer. Please, I don't want women. I don't want wealth. I don't want fame. But Bhavatad Bhaktir, I want causeless devotional service. And later in that chapter, Lord Chaitanya, final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, give me the salary of pure love of God. So yes, we want something, but we want service. Don't you want more and more service?
Hari Bol.
Don't you take on, right? You're running the restaurant. You're running the temple. BBT. Right?
Hari Bol.
What do we say when we're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? What are we saying? Please. And we don't realize what we're saying. And then when the service comes, no, Prabhu, I can't. I can't. We're begging for service.
Then how do you identify Queen Kunti, who prayed to the Supreme Lord to bring on so many tribulations and anxieties and stress?
We don't have to worry about that. We're automatically getting that. We don't have to pray for that. Don't worry. It's coming. Okay, it's like Puerto Rico right now. All right? Okay, over here. Yes.
I was thinking, Prabhu, as you were speaking, there's that one nice verse with Lord Shiva and Parvati. Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param.
Yes.
Much Parcham Devi Tadinam Samarchanam. That even more important than the service to Lord Vishnu, which is the best, even better than that is the service of the Vaishnavas.
Yes.
So I was thinking that, you know, when you were speaking about, you know, with chanting, to be engaged in devotional service, that even, you know, more important than, you know, even chanting. I mean, the chanting must be there. As you said, then we can, you know, we chant, then we become engaged in devotional service automatically. But service to the Vaishnavas and Srila Prabhupada's instructions. A question about, you know, Krishna has so many unlimited qualities, as you were speaking earlier, and I was wondering, I remember reading somewhere or hearing somewhere that there's a particular percentage of, you know, it's 27% of the qualities, not like the quantity, but I think just the qualities. I think we can have like 27% or the living entity.
The living entity can have 78% of the 64 qualities, but to a minute degree, not unlimited. We are over time. I know we'd love to go on, but we have service to do. Thank you very much. Please forgive my offenses. Have a great day in devotional service.
So, when is the next class?
Okay, I will.